This episode is brought to you by the Current Account Switch service. Valentine's Day is a bit like switching bank accounts. You don't want any unwanted surprises. That's why the Current Account Switch service guarantees against any shocks, stresses, and "that card was meant for my girlfriend, not my mum" moments. Find out more at currentaccountswitch.co.uk.
Hello, folks. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and we are trying something completely new on Risk today, inspired by those sorts of music reaction videos you see where someone's hearing a song for the very first time and reacting in real time. We figured, why not do that for first-person stories like the sort you hear on Risk? This is also our first video episode. If you're hearing this on our podcast feed, just know that there is a link to the video version in the show notes. And just hearing it will be fun. I mean, we listened to this story together, and I'll be sharing my thoughts afterwards and maybe a little bit during. But if you are watching this, make sure to check out our audio podcast, where we've been sharing jaw-dropping, boldly told stories for over 15 years. There's 2,088 stories waiting for you on Risk, wherever you get your audio podcasts or at risk-show.com. So let's get started. Our friends over at the Story Collider sent us a story by Jameer Pond that was on their podcast recently. Now, I didn't hear this episode. It's called Boundaries, Stories About Self-Care. So I have no idea what this story is about, but our producer, John LaSala, thought that I'd like it. So I hope you will, too. So without further ado, we're going to pick this right up about halfway through that episode and listen to Jameer Pond share this story called The Sex Sabbatical.
When I was like a teenager, right? Like, I really wanted to have sex, like, bad, despite not knowing my own body. Like, I remember when I was like 13 and I saw some pubic hair coming in and I was like, oh no, I'm getting old. So I grabbed my mother's straight Bic razor and trimmed the pubic hair off, raw dog, no cream, nothing. And I was startled a week later when these like pussy red itchy bumps came back, and I convinced myself that I had genital herpes despite being a virgin. That's how much I knew about my own body. The only things I really knew about sex came from the LeBron James of black porn, Wesley Pipes. And if you don't know about Wesley Pipes, Google on your own time. But like, I would watch this dude on movies like Ghetto Booty 2 and All Dad Ass 23. And I would be enamored. I mean, he could be anybody he want, a doctor, a lawyer, a basketball player, a pizza delivery guy. And it was the same constant. He would be having sex with the most beautiful women. And I knew at 13, that's exactly what I wanted to do with my life. He exemplified everything I thought about manhood. He was a sexual conqueror. And I remember watching him, and by the time I got to college, like, that became a part of my personality, too, because I figured out that I could have sex pretty fucking well. And that became a part of my personality. I didn't know how to fight. I wasn't good at sports, but I could fuck. And that became my preferred method of communication. I might not be able to tell you how I felt about you, but I could show you. And this worked, it was fun until it was no longer fun. And it stopped being fun in my 20s when I learned two important words that would change my life: emotional intimacy. Stupid, right? Like, I started learning about emotional intimacy in a decade on and off long relationship with my ex-partner. And, you know, going into the relationship, it was very much, again, Wesley Pipes-esque, right? The prodigal son of Wesley Pipes. But about like 6 years into the relationship, that started to change. My comfortability with my ex-partner started to grow, and I started to leave my ego at the door and become more present in sex. And I realized how much I liked that I didn't know I liked. For instance, like looking at the person. That's my shit. Y'all like that? Like, that's my shit. Like, kissing and cuddling and all the things I couldn't tell my homies, I love to do with my shorty. But when we broke up, I took the attentiveness, the comfortability, the safety, all the boyfriend dick things into the streets and started to form, again, those casual sexual relationships. But they were disastrous this time. It was not fun. I couldn't establish my boundaries because every time I would say, hey, no, I don't want to get in a relationship. That's not what I want. My penis would say, marry me. And we were not on the same page. So this came up in therapy, of course. I keep talking to my therapist, like, hey, you know, I kind of keep getting in these pseudo relationships where I'm intending not to be in one, but my body is saying something totally different. And my therapist, she looked at me and said, well, you know what, Jamil? You should probably take a sex sabbatical. And I'll be honest, around this time, that probably was the cherry on top that made me kind of disgusted with therapy. How dare you try to change me for the better, is what I was thinking in my mind. Sex for me was like Superman with his cape on. What's Superman gonna do without the cape? I did not know who I would be and what I would do without sex in my life at that point in time. And so my therapist was like, well, you can continue to have sex and keep running into the same cycles, or you can give yourself a break, recharge, and think about this. And begrudgingly, I decided to take a sex sabbatical. And I realized I liked it. So then throughout like the pandemic years, I'm taking periodics of time where I'm just going on sexual sabbatical residencies. I'm taking myself out the game for load management for all my basketball fans in the building because I needed to recharge and reevaluate, and I enjoyed it. I mean, I wasn't worried about getting in relationships. I wasn't worried about like my ego getting in the way of how I felt about sending mixed messages. I was doing a juice cleanse. Like, I was feeling really good about myself. But then, you know, sometimes you get horny, right? Like, sometimes as humans, we just get horny. I remember this particular time when I got horny. I had been texting another one. There's another ex-partner of mine. And the thing about her and I is that we have a lot of different chemistry. Like, we got really good sexual chemistry, but we also have really good intellectual chemistry as well. Like, word alliteration when we're talking nasty to each other. And I let her know it was tank time. And she said, it's tank time. I said, it's tank time. So we schedule her coming over. And I'll be honest, like, in the process of her making her way over to my place, I was having second thoughts. I hadn't had sex in a while. Like, I couldn't remember the last time I had sex. I wasn't masturbating or anything like that, and my confidence was fucking with me. I didn't know if I could sexually perform like I used to. Would it be like riding a bike? I don't know. I hadn't been abstinent ever in life like this. But when she comes over, like, that confidence and that comfortability came right back. And we begin to engage in sex. That's right. Now, I'll be honest, I was full, so I arrived at the station a little early. And when I'm about to pull out of the station, follow the pun, there we go, follow the metaphor, we here. When I'm coming out of the station, Just like Wesley Pipes, I'm preparing to give this wonderful stream of artistic validation from my body. And this beautiful, powerful pool of dark fuchsia colored liquid shot out of me. Oh, yes. It's a silence. I'm not saying anything. My ex is speechless. The first thing that came to my mind was beeps. Right? I had been doing a juice cleanse. And I know this game because the first time I had beeps, I had to get a prostate exam because I thought I was bleeding out my ass. And that's another story. But the point is that there was already a hypothesis in process. But as I examined the dark fuchsia-colored fluid, I realized that it was blood. And I went numb, and I went deaf like a little bit. And whatever my ex was saying, I couldn't hear. In my mind, I was going through like my dick highlight reel, like my best performances. Because I for sure thought like, this is the last time I'm gonna be able to have sex. And the words from my ex pierced through the deafness, and it was, you gotta go see a doctor. And I was like, fuck, you're right. So I went to Costa Rica. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. I didn't come. No, I'm playing. I definitely want to throw my Costa Rica hat in there, though. I'm playing, though. So her and I go to urgent care, and I leave the lobby, and I go into the doctor's office, and I'm trying to keep it cool on the outside, but internally, like, I don't know what's happening. I'm thinking I might die. Is my dick going to die? I don't know what. And so the doctor is like, well, okay, Jamil, like, what's going on? I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I jizzed blood, doc, and I don't know what that means, and I'm scared, but this never happened to me before. And he sat back, and he was like, are you in pain right now? And I was like, no. He said, did it hurt or was anything sore when you were ejaculating? I was like, no, like it felt normal. And so he sat back and he had this smirk on his face and he said, well, you know, Mr. Pond, this is actually more common than you think. He said, doc, I'm menstruating out of my dick right now. There's nothing common about this for me, at least for me. And he said, well, if this is the first time it's happening, no, there's no pain, you might have suffered what is called hematospermia, which is a pop blood vessel in the urethra of your penis. I was like, a pop blood vessel? He said, a pop blood vessel. And so he started to go over the symptoms. Like, you know, it's built through sometimes some rough sex, you know, some painful sex, or large buildups of abstinence. And I was like, the fucking abstinence. Goddamn abstinence got me. And so, like, he was like, you know, we're going to test you and make sure that you're good and you're clear and, you know, that you'll be all right. And I started to get frustrated because, like, as a man, I'm 35 years old. This is the first time I've ever heard of hematospermia. And I said, how come I've never heard about this? How come I've never heard about this discussed in medical circles or anything like that? No, I haven't seen any studies. They ain't talk about this on Bill Nye, the Science Guy. Like, I've heard nothing about this. And he said, well, Mr. Pond, frankly, a lot of men are embarrassed. Like, 1 in 5,000 men are diagnosed with, like, hematospermia. But I suspect that it's a larger number of people, but nobody comes to get checked. So you're one of the rare ones that does. And I said, blood shot out of my dick. I don't think you understand. But they test me, I'm clear, and he says, in 3 days, max, you should be good as new. And I thought about that. I was really proud of myself. Like, My idea of like manhood kind of changed. It wasn't like I was looking at Wesley and I'm like, yes, that's a man. I'm just glad I spoke up when I saw an alarming sign. You know, my first method of communication is sex, but I'm glad I used my second, which is speaking the fuck up about my body. Thank you.
Oh, he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. I want to meet him. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You know what's so funny about that? My very first reaction to that is, oh, no wonder I've never experienced that. I don't think there's been an abstinent period with me since February 16th, 1970, the day I was born. That's one of those things like monogamy where I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I should try that someday. All right. We're going to be right back after this short break.
Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone, hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years? Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole for 2,000 miles? The Snap Judgment Podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we're back. And so this is my immediate reaction to Jameer's story. First of all, I love how he took us on such an arc, you know? I mean, it started when he was just a kid and just getting to know his own body. And that was interesting, the way that that came back around toward the end, because it started kind of technical, right? With not knowing how pubic hair grows and then causing problems with, oh my God, those disposable razors are just a nightmare. I don't know how anyone uses it for any part of the body. Those things haunt me. But yeah, how as a kid, I think he, you know, we all go through this process of learning that sex is automatically going to be a medical issue. You know, like if you're someone who has lots of sex like I do, that means I have to go to the doctor about that, you know, at least three times or so a year, just to get all my tests and things like that done. But yeah, it was kind of a treat the way that he took us on such a learning arc with ups and downs along the way. And a lot of it, you know, a lot of what he was moving into was just the unknown a lot of the time. I also love the fact that it's about the fact that we have different kinds of relationships, and that's okay. I think that this is a real sticking point for so many people. We tend to think in this very dual, you know, in this very binary way of thinking of either a relationship is deep and loyal and intimate, like a marriage sort of monogamous marriage sort of relationship, or it's completely worthless and it's just like a one night stand and it's kind of trash, right? And it's so interesting, the older I get and the more, I mean, I've had so many different kinds of relationships, and it just took me decades. It took me until like my 40s to realize, oh, this is perfectly okay. We can find out what the parameters and dimensions of this relationship are just between the two of us. It might be super casual. It might just be the, you know, fuck buddies, as they say. But within that playing field, as long as you have a little bit of clarity about it with one another, so it does require some communication if it's not like, you know, it doesn't have to be an overt sitting down and having like a therapeutic talk with one another, but just kind of, you know, processing together a little bit more than, you know, some people, especially men, might be used to, really helps. Because, you know, like, for example, I was with a fella last night and we had a wonderful role play. We do a role play sort of thing together. But it wasn't, he came over at like 6:30, and it wasn't until like 9:30 that we started, because the first 3 hours were just super emotional, checking in about our lives. And it's just so interesting that then we're able to go into this sort of role play, almost as if we're completely different characters, and then come back together and process things together. And I don't know, I've just found it so fascinating that I think people underestimate that you can have very valuable relationships, even if it's someone you only see once a year or something like that, and treat it as a special and unique thing. And role play is another thing that has taught me, like he was talking about, that was very funny, the line about he had graduated into looking at someone. And role play, it is another thing that I didn't discover really until my 40s, is a really fascinating way to do that. Because, you know, I mean, I studied acting when I was in high school and college. And I once had an acting teacher who was very Jungian. She would invite literally one of the 12 Jungian archetypes out of you. So you would be like, you'd walk around in a circle real fast, which starts to get hypnosis and dizziness happening. And she would say, okay, I want to invite Kevin's warrior out, or Kevin's lover, or Kevin's innocent, you know, whatever, all those archetypes. And it was fascinating to watch how, if that is invited out of you and you start letting it out, like your posture changes, your voice changes, you start to communicate these aspects that are in your psyche. You're just not used to talking and walking and acting that way. And so role play in the bedroom was a way that I learned, oh, you know, like there can be like some looking into each other's eyes, for example, in a whole new way when you've like agreed to a sort of a dynamic between the two of you as far as like archetypes or characters. You know, I also loved how much of a sense of humor he had, you know, very self-deprecating. I myself don't relate so much to, well, I think I have a shyness throughout my entire life toward the whole performance. Well, I was just talking about role play, but I mean performance in the standard societal, oh, a man is supposed to be erect all the time and supposed to be able to come and perform and that proves that you're a man and all that. Like, I never like any aspect of like competing or reaching a certain bar or how you compare to someone else in the bedroom. Like, I don't like all that stuff. So no, I couldn't relate to, I mean, I'm also a gay guy, so I couldn't relate as well to him having a hero in this in this amazing porn star who was, no matter what situation he was in life, was like Superman once the clothes came off. But I loved how he had such a sense of humor about that, because I think that that really helps when addressing all that anxiety that men tend to have about maintaining an erection or getting an erection or coming or, you know, all these things that we worry about, like how good am I at sex? You know, a lot of that you have to like let go of, and also sometimes having a sense of humor with your partner or just admitting something like, I don't know, I might not have an erection today because of this, that, or the other. And I've done that many times and found that that makes things so much more fun, to lift the lid on having to perform, you know, to a certain standard. Right. So yeah, over the years I've found confidence in being usually just a big generic role as being like the sweet daddy. You know what I mean? Like the the one who's leading, but leading in a very nurturing and helpful and almost servicey sort of way. But anyway, I think that he is so much fun and such a natural that now I'm determined to see if we can get him on Risk, because that was a blast. And I'm so thankful. It was so much fun that this is our maiden voyage into this sort of reaction kind of project. So thank you to Jameer for sharing his story with us. You can find him at JameerPond.com. And of course, thanks to the Story Collider for sending us Jameer's story. They are dear friends of ours with fantastic true stories that usually have a little something to do with science. And they're at StoryCollider.com. And thank all of you for listening along with me as we give this whole Risk Reacts experiment a try. Let us know what you think. And if you hear a killer story on some other podcast and you think, oh, Kevin Allison has got to hear this one, let us know. You can find us on social media at Risk Show and on our YouTube channel, also at Risk Show. And always our website is risk-show.com. But don't ruin it. You know, like, let us know the story title and who the storyteller is and what the show is, but don't spoil it for me. Okay. Folks, today's the day. Take a risk.
You can't just keep messing around like you used to. Eventually, your dick will fall off. Remember VD in the 60s? That shit don't just sting no more. Every time they cure something, it come back stronger. VD is new and improved now. They got dudes in the doctor's office with symptoms like, excuse me, doc, what does it mean when you go to the bathroom and fire shoot out your dick?
Let me get this right. You're getting a burning sensation when you urinate?
No, fire shoot out my dick is a burst of flame fly out my dick when I pee. I can't even pee in the house. I burn my house down. I got to go outside and pee. I was outside peeing the other day. Dude tried to mug me. I turned around and burned him up on the street, doctor, what I'm trying to say. My dick is a blowtorch is what I'm trying to say.